And a pleasant good morning from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road. You're listening to Inside Agriculture from Big Iron 2016. And we invite you to join us at Big Iron throughout the broadcast time. All 3 days today from 9 o'clock all the way up until 5 this afternoon. Same times tomorrow. And from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. on Thursday. And going on right now, before we even get into having the doors open, pancake and sausage breakfast with a Goodwill donation. That's going on until 10:30 this morning. Well, when it comes to Inside Agriculture, looks like 44 North Dakotans are participating in the National Farmers Union legislative fly-in this week to raise awareness of the worsening farm economy, which has been on a downward spiral since 2014. Average net farm income in North Dakota dropped from $76,404 in 2014 to $28,600 in 2015, a 63% decline alone. The safety net, the 2014 Farm Bill, hasn't done its job. That according to NDFU President Mark Watney. We need an effective safety net that ensures food security for our nation. We're calling for corrective action and evaluation of price support levels so that farm programs serve their purpose of stabilizing farm income during low commodity cycles. Watney said low farm prices are predicted to continue for the next several years, which will present challenges to the survival of family farms and rural communities. Punishing low commodity prices and rising input costs have added to farm debt, he noted, which has deteriorated credit conditions for many producers who are unable to make loan repayments. Currency fluctuations, trade deals, and corporate consolidation are other variables impacting farm income. Six companies now control a majority of the global seed and chemical markets. As producers, we bear the economic brunt of these consolidations that bring about less competition in the marketplace, less innovation, and increased costs for farmers and ultimately consumers. Farmers Union members are also urging members of Congress to oppose any legislative changes to the renewable fuel standard, which requires renewable fuel to be blended into the nation's fuel supply, and to oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership. As we continue on with what's going on inside agriculture from the 36th annual Big Iron event on the West Fargo Fairgrounds, we'll call it the Red River Valley Fairgrounds in West Fargo, another poll shows the American public generally favors trade and globalization. Now, that's despite congressional resistance to taking up a huge Pacific trade deal right after the election. Now, 65% of Americans, including 74% of Democrats, say globalization is mostly good for the U.S., while just under 60% of Republicans say the same. Now, the numbers were similar, though slightly less, for the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. Why, then, the resistance from congressional leaders to take up TPP in a lame duck session? Well, American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore on the possible thinking of lawmakers.
I know what the polls are saying, or I know what the surveys are saying, but I'm still hearing a lot from those folks who are really upset about this agreement. Or, you know, from a political standpoint, I've got to play my cards just right because I may be fully supportive on the one hand of the policy, but on the other hand, the politics, you know, I'm working to protect myself back home.
Whereas some industries may support TPP, others may have some concerns. And Moore says leadership's also looking at the schedule.
The leadership is also looking at the fact that I've got a fairly long list to fit into a fairly short bucket of time that we're going to have to deal with. And part of that, too, is, you know, what the outcomes of the election.
And with that as the political backdrop, Farm Bureau's been trying to change the dynamic for the lame duck session.
It's kind of two parts. One, I want to inform you as a congressman or as a senator, here is why this is important to agriculture. And I also want to assure you, Congressman, that if you're standing up and you're voting for farmers and ranchers, we're going to make sure the folks back home, you know, our fellow farmers and ranchers, our neighbors, and our folks in the rural communities understand how you stood up and represented us in the U.S. Congress.
And before that can happen, House and Senate leadership have to take a 180-degree turn and decide to bring up TPP. Moore says State Farm Bureau leaders will be in Washington this week and next to make that case. Well, market volatility in the cattle industry remains a point of concern for all segments of the business. CattleFacts CEO Randy Block says that recent years have represented one of the most challenging times for the beef industry. However, with great risk comes great reward, and he believes there's potential for value-added beef products that set the standard for quality, as well as growing global demand for U.S. beef.
Here, obviously, this has been one of the toughest runs in the, from an equity standpoint that we've gone through in the history of our industry. What's been staggering has been the dollar head losses that we've seen within the business. So when I look at what the opportunities are, the things that I see is continued movement forward where we go through more value added, where we get more price differentiation.
Block says as worldwide markets continue to expand, consumers are looking to high-quality U.S. beef. Now, that's good news for cattlemen who've seen their sights on quality genetics and making improvement at all levels up the supply chain.
Demand for high-quality beef is still growing around the world. We have more consumers that want our product. We produce the safest, highest quality product of anywhere on the planet, bar none. So all of those are going to be going to continue to be tremendous opportunities our business as we move down the road.
Now you can visit CattleFacts.com if you want to learn more. Well, Bayer and Monsanto appear to be getting closer to a deal as negotiations seem to be in the final stretch. An agreement between the two companies would allow them to merge into the world's biggest seed and pesticide maker. Bloomberg reports that people familiar with the matter say a deal could be reached as early as next week. The Bayer Supervisory Board is scheduled to meet this week to discuss the deal. Monsanto's board will meet next week. Bayer announced advanced negotiations this week and a higher offer to Monsanto of $127.50 per share, roughly $65 billion, which is 18% above Monsanto's closing price last week. From the 36th Annual Big Iron in the Red River Valley Fairgrounds in West Fargo, I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis. Here's what's going on inside agriculture. The CME Group is proposing changes in the live cattle futures contract to make it less volatile and more effective. Dave Lehman, Director of Ag Research with the CME Group, says their goal is to improve the transparency in the cattle market, but in particular, the cash market. So one aspect of their proposal would look at creating a contract that's settled to a cash index.
It's fallen to less than 25% of the cattle transacted are negotiated, and with the remainder being sold on a formula basis that doesn't really produce price transparency. So we are looking at the contract in its entirety, and if we aren't comfortable that the physical delivery terms that we currently have specified are reflective of the predominant means of trading cattle in the cash market, then or we'll look at cash settlement as an alternative.
Now, Lehman agrees that to truly fix the problems with a lack of transparency and price discovery in the cash cattle markets, the southern feedlots would need to forego their formula contracts with the packers. However, he says a cash index would provide more cash information.
Could we somehow use some of the data in those formulas to incorporate into a cash settlement index? So if we just look at the negotiated trade and cash settle to that, then we really haven't changed much in terms of what is the underlying basis for the futures contract. So we need to figure out a way, if there is a way, to take some of that formula information and incorporate that into the cash index.
Now, Lehman says the lean hog contract is settled to a cash index and has been very successful. He refutes producer concerns that a live cattle contract settled to a cash index would give leverage to high-frequency traders and speculative accounts that don't have to take delivery.
You know, there's a precedent for doing it. So I think we have the tools in place to monitor the markets and maintain integrity in those contracts whether they be financially settled or physically delivered.
As part of the contract changes, the CME is also adding a seasonal discount of $1.50 per hundredweight on deliveries tendered to Worthing, South Dakota in October to facilitate a more orderly delivery process. They also stopped issuing live cattle contracts past October 2017 until they have resolved the issue. Now, continuing on, cattle producers in the region are reacting negatively to the CME Group's proposed changes to the live cattle futures. Iowa Cattlemen's Association President Dr. Phil Reitzma says the biggest red flag is the proposed cash settlement for the live cattle contracts. He says the development of a cash index would require the use of mandatory price reporting information, which currently can be manipulated and give packers a leg up.
There's some issues with the mandatory price reporting that would impact a cash settlement price, and the other part of that is that we believe that it gives the packer some additional leverage on how they go about bidding for cattle.
He says the other concern is that speculative traders could also manipulate the market since they don't have a fear taking delivery on the contract.
What it does is it takes away our leverage as a cattle producer to make sure that the cash bid and the futures contract converge when they need to converge at the end of the month. And so it gives additional leverage to people like higher frequency traders. It gives additional leverage to the packer and takes some leverage away from the producer.
Now, Reitzma said the root of the problem is more cash transparency is needed in the market and that it's difficult to achieve when southern feedlots do mostly formula contracts with packers.
You know, down south, 5 to 10%, depending on where you're at, is actually traded in the cash market. Now, in Iowa here, we're anywhere from 50 to 60%, depending on the week. And so we're maybe a bit of an anomaly compared to the rest of the industry. Nebraska is around 30% to 35%. And so we're very concerned just with price discovery and the ability of producers to capture as much value as they can when they're selling cattle.
Now, he says they're also disappointed the CME Group has chosen to move forward with a seasonal discount on deliveries to Worthington, South Dakota in October. Plus, the CME has rejected a request to implement a one-second delay on electronic trades. As we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture, of course, we're broadcasting from the Quality Seed Booth and the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road. Big Iron. And, of course, the first full day of Big Iron going on till 10:30 this morning. Pancake and sausage breakfast, Goodwill donation, gets you a good breakfast. Health screenings get underway, go until 4 this afternoon. 10 o'clock to 3:30, United Blood Services Bloodmobile, craft show from 10 to 5. Ag weather outlook with Drew Lerner from World Weather. That gets underway at 10:30. 1 to 3 this afternoon, field demonstrations, and at 1:30, a market outlook seminar with Dwayne Bossy, Bolt Marketing, Ted Seafried, Zanner Ag Hedge, and Tommy Grisapi, Advanced Trading. That underway at 1:30 this afternoon. Tell you what, a lot of activities going on right here at Big Iron. And, of course, Land Value Seminar. That's going on at 2:30 this afternoon. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Lumens.